Well, hello there. Ari Rosenbaum with another episode of that 401k podcast. This week's topic, we're going to talk about the value of a good retirement plan auditing firm. All information, all my 2 cents about retirement plan audits, when you need them, what type of audit firms you kind of have to look for, the whole idea behind an audit and all that kind of jazz. But of course, before that, let's talk about some of the events that we're talking about. And of course, Major League Baseball season has started. Despite the fact that you had some naysayers who said that wasn't going to happen, it has. Unfortunately, no fans are allowed for probably the rest of the season. And that means that our events in Houston, St. Louis, and Minnesota will be rescheduled to 2021. In addition, the announcement that I hinted to from last week, that 401k National Conference is going to be that 401k National Virtual Conference. We're going to do it in late January, January 21st to the 22nd. It's going to be Thursday, Friday. It was a no-brainer. Just saw today Napa, finally threw in the towel on a live event for Orlando for their Napa 401k conference. That was supposed to be late September. I think, again, whether we have a vaccine or not, the fact of the matter is that people are going to curtail their travel in terms of national events, big time, big events. They might be a thing of the past for the foreseeable future. Again, I think in 2021, hopefully we'll get some of these regional events back up on the ground, back up. Las Vegas, we have for December 4th. That might get pushed back. We'll see how it goes. Obviously, Nevada is one of the hot spots. Right now, it's end of July. I don't think anybody in March thought that this still would have continued. But, here we are in four and a half months since we had that 401k National Conference at Disney World on the cusp of the pandemic breaking out. So it just was a no-brainer that the National Conference for next year should be all virtual. I think it makes it easier for all of us. You can attend, and we could pass the cost savings of running at events to not only the sponsors who want to partake and be part of the event, but also the attendees. So if you go to that 401ksite.com and you see the link for that 401k National Virtual Conference, you could sign up for as little as $20.21 to attend both days. You want some autographs, you can throw in a couple extra bucks. You want a t-shirt too, buddy Mike Webb. Mike decided to go with the full VIP package. He wants a t-shirt, so that means I have to order t-shirts now. But go to that 401ksite.com for further information. We're going to have, unlike the virtual conferences I've been doing lately, which, of course, the fifth one will be on Friday, August 14th, obviously, I'm charging for the national event. It's going to be 2 days, about 8 hours, hopefully, each day. Again, based on sponsorships, we'll see what other kind of unique events that we might have. I don't think we can really have a virtual happy hour. I think that's kind of sad. I don't know. Everybody with a beer by them, I don't know. Should be interesting. We'll see what happens. We're 6 months away. We'll come up with some ideas. I had my weekly lunch with my buddy Larry. We talked about some people that we might have out for the event, and there's one name that, I think if it was live, we could book that person, but I think it's if that opportunity is out there for January to book this guest, to me it would be a mind-blowing guest to me, because it, to me, that person is a sports icon. But we'll see what happens between now and then, and the flexibility, and of course the sponsorship support will dictate the budget for any guests. But it'll be a fun event. People learn a lot, have a lot of interest from sponsors. James Holland was one of the, is always the first one to throw support from Millennium. And that's a nice segue to talk about the next, that 401k virtual bunch. We had the first one on Friday. You can watch it on YouTube. Mike Webb was as good as I thought he would be. great discussion, you know, the audience partook in that, as well as discussion, you know, about certain issues that are going on, the new fiduciary rule, some of the litigation that's going on, the future of conferences. We talked, you know, a little bit about movies and whatnot. So, and I had an explanation about the first very episode of 2020. So that next 401k Virtual Bunch will be with James Holland from Millennium, Ron Stair from CP. I never get the acronym right, but he's a head of a TPA based out of here in East Meadow. It's a complete plan design, comprehensive plan design. He'll be a guest next Thursday. We're going to do it on Thursday next week, Thursday, July 30th, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, free event, 35, 45, an hour maybe. Good content, good discussions. I hope everybody can be a part of it. And, of course, that 401k Virtual Conference 5, like I said, Friday, August 14th. Had some interest for it. It's going to be a two-and-a-half-hour event. Going to start early, 9 o'clock on a Friday rather than late afternoon when people might want to golf or you know, make it an early weekend. So we'll try it then. So finally, let's get to the meat, the substance of our discussion, which is a good retirement plan auditing firm. And, you know, obviously, for those who don't understand retirement plans with more than 100 participants, have to get a plan audit for their Form 5500. There is an exception, the 8120 rule, when a small plan becomes a larger plan. Once they, pass that 100-person threshold in existing plan, they don't immediately need an audit. They have kind of a leeway to 120. The problem with if you have an audit requirement and you don't file your 5500 with an audit, the IRS/DOL will charge you as have never filing the 5500. So I've had situations in the past where the plan sponsor did file a 5500 without an audit and it got kicked back, or sometimes they file the 5500 and then will amend their 5500 once they get the audit because they blew past the deadline and didn't have the audit ready. But it's an extremely important requirement for, again, the plans that have 100 or 120 participants. And the participant count includes any actively participating employees, retired, deceased, or separated employees who still have assets in the plan, and three, all eligible employees who have yet to enroll or have elected not to enter the plan. So this is why, I'm a big believer through my good friends at FPS Trust, when dealing with missing participants, when dealing with, use that involuntary cash out provision, get that head count down as much as you can, especially if you are a plan sponsor and on the cusp of a plan audit. Now, plan audits are not cheap. Obviously, a limited scope audit, is obviously going to be more, is going to be cheaper than a full scope audit. So for plan sponsors, hiring a corporate trustee might make sense if you're going to save on an audit. But the whole idea, the purpose of an audit is obviously you hire a CPA firm to do it, to ensure that the assets are there to pay the retirement benefits of plan participants and to help the financial integrity of the plans, the retirement plan, and ensuring that the funds are all there where the plan sponsor says they are, and that there are no other threats to the payment of benefits to plan participants. And of course, the better the quality of the plan's financial audit, the more reliable the information used is to manage and administer the plan is. And of course, a quality audit goes a long way in carrying out a plan sponsor and a plan fiduciary's responsibility to file a complete and accurate Form 5500 for each plan year. you know, the problem is that there are a lot of audit firms out there that do very bad work. Pension Assurance isn't one of those. Pension Assurance is a great CPA firm out in California. Sponsors of many of my events, you know, they're a good quality firm. That's all they do, retirement plan audits. And, you know, when they do presentations, they always show the Department of Labor's Chief Accountant's report to show the large amount of deficiencies that they see with plan audits. You know, it's just hiring, you know, somebody and picking them just because they, you know, provide the cheapest price on an audit, it's a bad idea. You want to pick a CPA firm that has well experienced and understands how to obviously audit retirement plans. So, you know, federal law requires the auditor to be licensed or certified as a CPA by a state regulatory authority. Hiring your local tax preparer, which is not a CPA firm, is not allowed. Again, from experience, you need to pick a auditing firm that has experience. Somebody, you know, somebody that, you know, for each accountant, they handle 12 to 15 audits each. Back in the day, I knew a CPA firm where the Department of Labor closed them down, and the CPA agreed not to agreed to a lifetime ban from doing Department of Labor / IRS retirement plan audits for Form 5500 because the Department of Labor saw it was insufficient work. 80 audits done by three people. They said it was impossible for them to do quality audits, and again, you know, the whole purpose of an audit is to ensure that the plan is operating correctly and it's in good financial condition. If you, you know, pick a poor auditor, it doesn't really help you out. You know, paying thousands of bucks for an audit report that has so many holes in it, it should be Swiss cheese, is the same way as paying thousands of dollars for a worthless piece of paper. I would caution referrals from TPA firms unless the TPA makes more than just one firm as a referral. You know, good TPAs will say, you know what, these are the two or three firms, you know, I think you should talk to. Same thing when somebody asks me for a referral, I don't immediately say, you know what, talk to this person. I say, you know what, talk to these people. Here are three firms you have to you should talk to. You know, That's what you have to do. One of the cautions I've heard is a lot of the outside CPAs, like, for example, as an ERISA attorney, I'm allowed to work with plan sponsor clients around the country because, you know, ERISA is federal law, but I know a lot of states are clamping down on outside CPAs. You know, if a New York firm where the CPA is only licensed in New York, they may have issues if they're doing an audit from a state where they don't have a license from. So that's a consideration. I know that, you know, firms like Pension Assurance and John Moyna's firm, I know he operates in multiple states. Larger, you know, firms, you know, obviously you're dealing with the Big Four, I think they are nowadays. I think it's been Big Four for a long time now. They obviously, you know, that's not an issue with when they have offices all around the country. But when really picking an ERISA auditor, I think it's more important to pick quality over a name. Again, we have these Big Four accounting firms. I once reviewed, somebody asked me to review a 5500 of a certain plan, and I saw that one of the Big Four firms was charging $54,000 for a limited scope audit, which is about $45,000 or $40,000 too much. You know, there are so many quality, medium, and small CPA firms out there that do audit, you know, that have good auditing practices. And again, they're you know, when it comes to retirement plan audits, it's its own specialty. You know, you got your Pension Assurance, John Moyna's firm, what's it, JMM CPA. Tina Zbytsky, out here on Long Island, is got pretty much a audit-only type practice, retirement plan audit-only practice. She's fantastic. So there's so many opportunities. I know Templeton CPAs out in Florida, they do work on some of the MEPs that I work on in Florida, John Templeton. Again, you know, these are so many firms around the country. You want somebody experienced. They don't have to be somebody that only does retirement plan audits, but obviously somebody only does retirement plan audits or a substantial part of their business is retirement plan audits is obviously somebody that is sophisticated enough to do a fantastic job. A good audit is going to, you know, look at the plan terms, plan investments, distribution of benefits, participant loans, potential prohibited transactions, discrimination testing, and timeless contributions among the major issues for the review. You know, audit firm is going to do a really thorough review, and it may pick up mistakes that nobody ever realized. It may pick up some TPA mistakes, may pick up some mistakes the plan sponsor made that nobody else picked up. I've seen some situations where, you know, the audit firms made mistakes. And going back to this Big Four situation years ago when I was at Myers Swazi, I remember I got a referral. One of the few referrals that I got from one of the partners at the firm was a publicly traded client. Well, it wasn't a client, but it was a publicly traded company with issues. Big Four accounting firm screwed up on the audit for 20 some odd years. Didn't realize that bonuses were a part of the definition of compensation, so their contributions were over 20 years. Of course, being the risk attorney that I am, I suggested that they go VCP. And somehow they found an attorney who told them they could just self-correct it, which I listen to this day. And I was, you know, 11, 12 years later, I still don't know how they got through with that. But, hopefully they didn't get audited by the IRS. And again, the Department of Labor in 2011, they found that almost 40% of plan audits contained major deficiencies with respect to one or more relevant accounting requirements. Which would lead to rejection of a Form 5500 filing, putting $653 billion and 22.5 million plan participants and beneficiaries at risk. So, in English, hire a good auditor. And a good audit is really, to me, again, like I said, a check and balance against some of the other plan providers. You know, again, I found, you know, good auditors picking up mistakes that, you know, the TPA never would find, you know, the advisor would never find, and obviously the plan sponsor would never find. It's a situation, you know, it's obviously a situation. So, you know, and it is what it is. You know, a mediocre plan audit, again, it's going to be a problem if errors are detected. And again, if on a DOL or IRS audit, some of the problems are picked up. The limited scope audit. Now, again, like I said, you get a corporate trustee. Corporate trustees, you can have a limited scope audit because corporate trustees can certify their trust statements. You know, the audit firm, you know, doesn't do an audit of the investments because, you know, like I said, the trust company certifies trust assets. They certify their own trust statements. And so, therefore, that is one of the benefits and one of the few benefits, in my opinion, of having a corporate trustee. A corporate trustee, you know, again, dealing with larger plans, it could save a substantial amount of money. I mean, obviously, there's a fee involved with hiring a corporate trustee. But like I said, you know, that's what it is. And again, like I said, don't pick on price. It's an absolute mistake. I've seen, you know, way too many plan sponsors regret, you know, taking that $12,000 order and just using an order that was charging five. It's just not a good idea. You know, the whole idea is that the order is attached to the 5500. And if the order is attached to the 5500, assume that somebody in the government is actually going to read that audit report. And so, again, there's sometimes there are exceptions to the audit or some issues that the audit raises. And again, that could be a trigger for the audit. And again, beware of audit firms that only do one TPA's work. That happened in the past many years ago. There was a TPA firm, and they were closely linked, a little too closely linked to an audit firm. And it was a big scandal, a big issue. And you want, you know, an audit firm that, you know, works with a whole bunch of TPAs so that there's no, you know, too close of an interconnection, or too close of a connection, as they would say. And that's really what I think. You know, I think it's an absolute mistake to pick somebody just on based on price. And again, I think it's a mistake to just pick a firm because it's large. It's one of those big four. You could, again, a lot of good firms only do return plan audits. So it's assumed that they're going to do fantastic work. And you have a lot of good regional firms, you know. Department of Labor, IRS don't care if you pick their big four firm. You know, you don't need to pay for a Cadillac. A good, reliable Chevrolet is good enough. Just don't buy a Yugo of an auditor. So I hope you enjoyed this shortened episode of that 401k podcast. And like I said, go to that 401ksite.com, sign up for that 401k national virtual conference. Early bird rates, $20.21. You want some autographs, I think it sets you another $100. You want a t-shirt, it sets you another $20. But it's a good time, 2 days worth of activity, 2 days worth of you know, information being presented. And we always have a good crowd, and we always have some interesting content and speakers that you won't find anywhere else. Like I always joke, when it comes to starting my own events, I started my own events because I realized that when it came to some of these national conferences, they invited the same two or three ERISA attorneys, and somehow I was out of the rotation. So you will see speakers that you might not see at some of the other larger national events. So we're going to have a good diverse crowd in terms of speakers and topics and whatnot. So it's a great event for anybody who's a retirement plan provider or anybody who wants to be a retirement plan provider. Your advisor, you want to start on the 401k plan business, it's a great event. You're a seasoned pro, you're a 338 advisor, you're an actuary, you're a TPA, you've been in this business longer than I've been. It's a great event as well. And again, we're going to have guests like we do in the regional events and the national and the in-person live events. And, you know, obviously with it being virtual, it costs less to bring somebody in. So if we utilize the same budget, you know, who knows who we're going to get. I have some ideas of who I want. And there's one name, again, Larry, at our weekly lunch brought up that I thought was fascinating. Somebody would die to get at a conference. Somebody who's really, in my mind, very, very inspirational. And no, it's not, you know, it's not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Yeah, love them in Airplane, but I don't think we could afford to, you know. And it's certainly not Robert Hayes, who played the Ted Stryker in Airplane, or Al Pacino, or Clint Eastwood, or whatnot. But think somebody, again, probably sports world, very, very inspirational. So we'll see what happens. As we plot this out, we get more sponsors, we get more people, we get more rear ends and virtual seats. Then we could give some more details and book this further out. Because I have some ideas for events that we could make it interesting and virtual. But again, it all depends on interest from attendees and interest from the many plan provider sponsors. So again, go to that 401ksite.com, that 401k virtual bunch next Thursday, that 401k virtual conference 5. is going to be on August 14th. And again, sign up today, that 401k National Virtual Conference. So, Ari Rosenbaum, hope to hear from you guys next week. Take care. Bye.